For more information on Victory Faith Centre and to download sermons at no charge, visit www.victoryfaithcentre.org.au.
Let's open up in prayer. We praise you, Lord. We thank you. And we commit tonight to you in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I ask that every heart be open to hear the word of God preached in Jesus' name. Amen. We're looking at understanding seed faith. I've already done a three-part series, which you can hear from the web or get the CD, Seed Faith Principles, parts 1 to 3. So that's available for you. Now, this is such an important area. The reason why it's so important is it's the way the kingdom of God works. So the Lord wanted me to go through I guess you could call it a nuts and bolts way of understanding seed faith and then putting it into practice in your life. So I'm going to relate it to having a harvest of health. Now, I advise you, if you have problems or have had problems in the past in this area of healing or divine health, get the CD, listen to it over and over. And I say this by faith, because I'm going to preach it along the lines of what the Lord has given me. Praise the Lord. So, understanding seed faith. We're going to understand the nature of faith as a seed. And so we're going to look at a few scriptures. We're going to go through how we can have a harvest out of putting our faith into action as a seed. And remember what a seed is. A seed has the potential to grow and to produce a harvest. Obviously, as I said before, if a farmer plants a seed in the ground, he doesn't expect there to be no harvest. If that was what he was like, then he shouldn't be a farmer. So we are all sowers. I think I've said that in the past. We are all sowers, and that means we're all sowing something. Now, the key in the kingdom of God is to be sowing the right things to get the right harvest. Let's have a look at Matthew 17, and we'll look at a few verses out of here in Matthew 17. And we'll start from verse 19. You know the story of the disciples not able to cast out the devil out of the lunatic child. And then Jesus came and he cast out the devil. Verse 19 says, "Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, 'Why could not we cast him out?' And Jesus said unto them, 'Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting.'" When you think about prayer and fasting is not something that you do when you come to an emergency or a time of crisis. Prayer and fasting is preparing the ground of your heart, preparing your life for the seed of the Word of God, and for the seed of faith to come in. So you can't just say, "Well, I've come to this crisis," but you haven't previously been doing any prayer or any fasting or any preparation of the ground or even sowing of the seed. Can you see the problem here? Now, if you go back, you can read how the disciples were getting into this worldly type of thinking. Who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, and who's going to be seated at your right hand, and all this type of thing, rather than concentrating on the spiritual task. And you can read it for yourself. Rather than concentrating on the spiritual task of prayer and fasting and preparing their hearts and being spiritual and having spiritual understanding, if that wasn't the case, then why did Jesus, when he came in the midst of them, say this in verse 17? "Then Jesus answered and said, 'O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me.'" So that's a rebuke. He's saying, why are you faithless? Why are you being perverse? What's happening here? And when they asked him, why could not we cast him out? Jesus made it very clear, because of your unbelief. Now, unbelief does not have to stay in a person's life, particularly a Christian's life. A Christian should not allow unbelief to stay. In fact, it should be a great enemy and treated like an enemy. Unbelief and doubt and so on are things that are enemies of faith. So he talks about faith as a grain of mustard seed. Well, what is he trying to say about faith? He's trying to say that it has to grow. It has to grow. You see, the disciples were not prepared. They had undeveloped faith. What had they been concentrating on previously? I mentioned it before. What should they have been concentrating on? Spiritual things. Spiritual things of preparation. Sowing the seed. Getting their hearts ready in prayer and fasting. So that when they did come to minister, and they had done it before, they'd cast out devils and so on before. When they did come to minister, they were prepared people. They weren't unprepared. So faith must be nurtured. Sown as a seed, and it must be nurtured, and it must be allowed to grow to bring a harvest, so that as your faith gets bigger and bigger, the Bible talks about from faith to faith, the just shall live by faith. As your faith gets bigger and bigger, you should be expecting to do bigger and bigger and being able to believe for bigger things. So let me encourage you, and this is very important, not to just do the same old thing in your life if you're not having any fruit, if you're not having any success, but to start to say, well, what does the Word say and what do I need to change? Look at Mark 4. Mark 4, we'll look at verses 26 to 29. Mark 4, 26 to 29. So we're talking about understanding seed faith, understanding this whole area of how the kingdom of God works. See, Jesus gave a lot of teaching about this, and it was one of his key things that he taught about. It was about the kingdom of God. And this is what he says in Mark 4, starting verse 26. He said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, and after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. So what we see is he started with a seed, and he doesn't know how the seed grows up. In fact, none of us really understand the mechanism of the seed. All we know is if you put the seed into the right ground and nurture the seed, such as water it, and you know, you might have to get that ground ready, you'll know that it's going to, in the right conditions, grow up, and you'll get a harvest out of that seed. You don't know how, and you don't need to know how. All you need to know is that this is the way the kingdom of God works. And the kingdom of God works, and it seems such a natural principle, doesn't it? But you see, the whole of the physical creation is a reflection of the spiritual anyway. So God didn't... and that's why Jesus put, when he came and gave his parables of teaching, he gave a lot of natural examples, and you can look at it for yourself. So we see here, this is what the kingdom of God is like. Casting seed into the ground, period of time, harvest. So when we talk about casting seed into the ground, we often talk about the Word of God. Now, the Word of God is what produces faith. I think we should turn to Romans 10, start from verse 8. We'll look at verse 8 of Romans 10, and then we'll go to verse 17. So Romans 10, verse 8, and what do we see here? But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Now, why is it called the word of faith? Because it produces faith, okay? It produces faith. And notice, preaching is one of the ways of getting the word of faith into people's hearts. And if they believe it, they're going to speak it. Isn't that the nature of the spirit of faith? I believe and therefore do I speak. And also, as I said on Sunday, they're going to get into action on it. So this is an important thing to see. The word of faith comes. Faith comes by the word, and we see that in verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So you can see that's a seed faith, isn't it? You're putting the word into where? Into your heart. Okay? But remember what I talked about in preparation. If you've got a hard heart or unbelief in there, what do you have to do? What does unbelief do? It chokes the word, doesn't it? It rejects the word. If you didn't believe, for example, if you didn't believe in tithing, and I preached to you about tithing, what's unbelief going to do? It's going to reject that word that I preached to you. Can you see what I'm saying? But if you did believe in tithing, and you say, yes, it's also for the New Testament, and I can see the scriptures and so on, and I understand that, then your heart is going to receive that word because the unbelief is out of it. It's the same thing for healing, same thing for deliverance, same thing for all things that you would get from the Lord. So what we see here is that the word of faith will come. It's got the potential to produce great faith, because we read about that seed faith. We read about how the kingdom of God operates. So what happens if you just put a little bit of word into a person's heart? Well, are you going to get a great harvest or just a little harvest, assuming that the ground is right? You're only going to get a little harvest, if anything. Sometimes a harvest might not even come because of that, as I said, that unbelief. But the Bible does talk about 30, 60, 100-fold. So there are different levels of harvest that people can get. Okay, so faith cometh. Faith cometh, but notice how it comes. If you look at verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing. Now hearing, the Bible talks about the obedient ear. Hearing is related to us being not just hearers only, but what? Doers as well. And this is very important. Hearers must be people that are doers if they're going to have an increase in faith. So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Praise the Lord. So what if you wanted to sow seeds that would produce a harvest of health? What would you do? Let's look at that. Look at Proverbs 4, verses 20 to 22. None of this, by the way, has not been preached at Victory Faith Centre. All of this has been, but I'm just putting it together for you in a package here, so you can take hold of and you can say, yes, I understand that if I'm going to get a harvest, I have to be sowing seed, and I have to make sure that my heart is prepared and right and my life is right. I can't be a person that has no prayer or does nothing in respect to things like fasting or meditation on the word and so on. I've got to be a person that's diligently seek the Lord. And that's where the rewards come. That's where the harvest will come. So looking at Proverbs 4, and we're going to start from verse 20 in Proverbs 4. As I said before, we've read this a number of times, but let's look at it according to the sowing time period of growth, harvest principle, sowing and reaping principle. So we'll start from verse 20 of Proverbs 4 and notice what it says. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the, where? Midst of thine heart. There's a key there. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Now, there is so much richness in just these three verses that we could preach on this for several sermons. And we have covered this over and over again, but let's look at what it says. My son, attend to my words. Does that mean you'll have a hearing ear? Will you have an obedient ear? You will, won't you? You'll say, yes. Incline your ear unto my sayings. If I'm inclining my ear, you've heard of people saying, hanging on every word. Why would people be hanging on every word? Because they want to hear what is being said. Hanging on every word. Okay? So here we see, incline your ear unto God's sayings. We should have an ear to hear. That's what the word says, an ear to hear. And you can make a decision. You can say, Lord, I repent of not listening to you in the past. I repent of going my own way. And Lord, I turn to you now and I choose to hear what you have to say. That's the way we need to go. And that's what it says. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Well, does that mean you should be looking at the Bible every so often? Or constantly? I think there should be a much more or greater level of getting the word into your life. You see, if you want a harvest of health, and then we're just going along the kingdom of God principle, how much seed do you think you should sow? A little bit of seed? Or a lot of seed? You have to sow a lot of seed, don't you? And let me just divert a little bit here. We have on the website a download under studies that you can get called healing related scriptures. I believe there's about 100 there. 100 healing related scriptures. Do you think you could grab those scriptures and be meditating on them and speaking them and thinking about them and reading them in the Bible? I think you could. I think you could. And we've got that as a free download. And that's, I'm saying that here now so that there is an availability for people if they want to. They can take hold of a whole lot of scriptures and start to get them into their heart. So that's why it says, keep them in the midst of thine heart. Keep them. Now, the word keep implies look after, okay? Look after them in the midst of your heart. Guard over them. Nurture them. Why? Because we're talking about seeds here, aren't we? The seed of the Word of God. Mark 4 talks about the Word as the seed. Luke 8 as well. So we know the Word as the seed put in, what are we going to get? In verse 22, for they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. So there is a spiritual connection between the inner man and the outer man. The inner man and the outer man. Now you see that every day. You can go amongst the heathen and just see how the heathen that are full of bitterness and all types of worry and all types of anger and so on, you see how it manifests. And it often manifests in all types of sicknesses as well, and depression, etc., etc. I could go on and on about that. But I want you to see there's a connection between the heart, the inner man, and the outer man. And this is why we have the promise here, for they are life unto those that find them. Find is talking about you're looking for it. You're seeking it. You know, you're not just thinking, oh, it'll drop on me, whatever will be, will be. You're looking. You're hanging on those words. You're seeking the Lord for what he wants to show you and bring out for you. And health to all their flesh. Now, I believe that it's not just the healing scriptures which will give you that. It's the whole of the Word of God. Okay? But if you're specifically looking for healing, you would be concentrating on the healing scriptures. And that's why I mentioned about the healing-related scriptures download. That's fully available. So, let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. Your heart, as I said before, if there is unforgiveness, there's anything that needs to come out, you need to get that out, praise the Lord, and then get that sowing in place. So the size of your harvest will depend on how much seed you sow. Let's have a look at Mark 4. We'll look at verse 20 and verse 24. Mark 4. Look at verse 20. Mark 4 verse 20 says, "And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100-fold." So you can see there's different levels of harvest. Nevertheless, the good ground will always produce a harvest. A good harvest, that's right. As long as we're sowing the word in there. If you don't sow the word in, let's say you're only listening to modern versions or modernist teaching, is that going to be good seed coming in? It won't be. There's all types of rubbish in that. It's a mixture of chaff and wheat there. There's all types of, more chaff than wheat, I'd say. You've got to put good ground seed, seed that is good going into good ground, and you're going to get, as it says there, the promise of some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100-fold. Also look at verse 24 there. "And he said unto them, take heed what ye hear. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given." So here it's telling you that the more you hear the right things, because it says take heed what you hear. Now what you hear, when you think about it, it's quite humorous to me that you have people, particularly amongst the unbelievers, they have the radio on all day. They might be even at work. A tradesman might be there at work and he's got the radio on all day. And I'm thinking, what is going into these people? And you know what's going into these people. All types of philosophy and words from the world, etc., etc. I'm a person that would rather not have it. I'm not completely against it. But I can see, and we should be able to observe just spiritually, what is going on into people's hearts constantly. What does the Lord want to go into our heart? We saw it before, the word of faith, in your heart and in your mouth. So take heed what ye hear, It is very easy today, in today's society, if you want a harvest of health, to put on the scriptures, to put on sermons, even not to have anything on and just be praying or thinking on the word of God. It is very easy. What is challenging is that there's a lot of temptation, isn't there? There's a lot of draws from the world. There's a lot of things that are trying to get our attention, but we have to be wary of what we hear. As it says there, "With what measures ye meet, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given." So if you're hearing the right thing and you're hearing lots of it, what's the promise? More will be given. Can you see what I'm saying? More will be given. So if you're hearing not much, or not putting much in, not much is going to be given. And this is important for us. Look at 2 Corinthians 9 verse 6. 2 Corinthians 9 verse 6. What we're looking at here is the principle of sowing and reaping, and how we can get a good harvest. So we're understanding seed faith. Seed faith is always based on the word of God, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we're looking at 2 Corinthians 9 verse 6, and this is related to what I just quoted before. 2 Corinthians 9 verse 6, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully." It's a simple message tonight. What was the problem with the disciples? Their hearts were unprepared. They had unbelief in their hearts. What can we do about that? Should we just let that go and say, well, you know, I'm always not able to believe? You can change that. It's not hard to change. It's actually a matter of decision. So you can decide and make a decision to change. But also, as we just see here, if you want a bountiful harvest, let's say a bountiful harvest of health, we saw in Proverbs 4 that if you keep them in the midst of your heart, if you take heed, if you get them in there, you're going to get that bountiful reaping, as it says there, he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. So the question is, can you sow bountifully into your heart? Yes or no? Yes, you can. Every one of us can. So what's holding up the thing? As I said before, there's an enemy out there. What is he doing? He is sowing too. He's out there sowing as well. He's sowing and sowing and sowing. And I just gave the example of the radio. He's out sowing all he can. What can you do? Well, you can say, well, I'm not going to receive the enemy's seeds. I'm going to make sure I have a good ground heart. And I'm going to sow bountifully good seed. Praise the Lord. Let's close our eyes, bow our heads. We'll close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you. We thank you for your blessing. We thank you, Lord, for showing us through your word about sowing and reaping. I pray, Lord, that this word by the Holy Ghost has impacted on people's hearts and minds. There be a decision for you, Lord, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for your blessing. We thank you, Lord, for your increase. And we choose to sow bountifully good things into good ground. We praise you, Lord, for opportunity we have. Opportunity we have whilst we are alive in this earth today. We thank you for that.